from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs supports Jakarta's waste handling cooperation with Norway and Denmark. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says Indonesia supports peace in Afghanistan. Directorate of Southeast Asia, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs realizes digital economy cooperation with Singapore. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs supports Jakarta Provincial Government in cooperation with Norway and Denmark in an effort to handle waste. The cooperation focused on handling plastic waste that flows into the sea. This was conveyed by Deputy Minister of Maritime Affairs Arif Hafaz Ogroseno on the sidelines of his visit to Manggarai Watergate in Jakarta on Tuesday, January the 30th. The visit was also attended by Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan, Danish Ambassador to Indonesia Rasmus A. Christensen, and Norwegian Ambassador to Indonesia Vegard Kelly, and a representative of World Bank to Indonesia Rodrigo Chavez. Arif Hafaz Ogroseno added that waste management, especially plastic waste, should be done as soon as possible. The Indonesian government has supported the waste management in each region. The central government has allocated a budget of $1 billion for the waste management in 5 years. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his deep sorrow to Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, along with all Afghan citizens, for some tragedies that occurred in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo during a joint press statement after a bilateral meeting with President of Afghanistan at the Agar Presidential Palace in Kabul on Monday, January 29. The president said his visit to Afghanistan was the first Indonesian presidential visit after nearly 6 decades. The last visit of Indonesian president to Afghanistan was in May 1961, held by former President Sukarno. President Joko Widodo affirmed that Indonesia has strong commitment to cooperate with Afghanistan to build peace and support the welfare of Afghan nations. Meanwhile, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani welcomed the presence of President Joko Widodo in Kabul, Afghanistan. He said President Joko Widodo always pushed for peace in Afghanistan. The Directorate of Southeast Asia, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, seeks to realize the cooperation of digital economy between Indonesia and Singapore, which was launched by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong last year in a bilateral meeting to commemorate the 50 years of Indonesia-Singapore diplomatic relations. It is expected that with the cooperation, the digital economy of Indonesia will be more growing in the future. This was stated by the Director of Southeast Asia Cooperation, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Denny Abdi, in a special interview with The Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday, January 29.
Dasar pemikirannya adalah Singapura sangat maju dan memiliki.
We believe that Singapore is very advanced and has almost all factors that make it becomes a digital drive. On the contrary, Indonesia has creative young people, which is the main requirement to be a developed country in digital economy. Well, in the next 1 or 2 years, we will realize how we can work together with Singapore to strengthen the Indonesian digital economy. Indonesia and Singapore are currently committed to boosting their mutual intensive cooperation in the economic field and digital economy as one of the priorities of cooperation. The digital economy is believed to have a great potential for the economy of Indonesia and Singapore to be more advanced in the future. Indonesian government, through several ministries and institutions, made coordination to overcome extraordinary incidents of measles and malnutrition in Asmat, Papua. Acting Development Director General of Regional Development, Indonesian Ministry of Home Affairs, Indrajati Dia, said that her office will re-evaluate the implementation of the spatial autonomy in Papua and West Papua. In a discussion held at the Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Information Technology building in Jakarta on Monday, January 29, she explained that based on Law No. 21, Year 2001, Papua has full authority to enforce its law. Since 2002 to 2018, the Spatial Autonomy Funds and Additional Infrastructure Funds for Papua and West Papua increased. However, with the extraordinary incident in Asmat, Indrajati considered that there is not yet appropriate in the utilization of the fund. So it seems there should be assistance and special approach in utilizing the Spatial Autonomy Fund for their main necessities and culture. Dia Indrajati further explained the Directorate General has formed an internal team to evaluate the implementation of Papua Spatial Autonomy. Directorate General of Regional Development will evaluate Papua's revenue and expenditure budget to its programs. She stressed that the Spatial Autonomy Funds should be prioritized for education and health. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated that Indonesia is ready to hold an international ulemas meeting to help maintaining peace in Afghanistan. The president suggested that it will be inclusive peace process. It was said by the president during the meeting with chairman of the Afghan Peace Council Karim Khalili. The meeting was held at the Haram Sarai Palace in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, on Monday, January 29. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo expressed his gratitude for the visit made by chairman of the Peace Council of Afghanistan and the delegation to Jakarta recently. Through his return visit, President Joko Widodo confirmed Indonesia's commitment to assist peace efforts in Afghanistan. The president also held more detailed discussions on the steps to be taken forward, including the plan of holding an international scholar meeting. The meeting with the Afghan Peace Council will be followed up in Jakarta as soon as possible. Indonesian government boosts eradication of stunting and malnutrition issues. It is not only health issue but including other factors directly and indirectly, especially people behavior about the importance of awareness for good nutrition since early life. It was stated by expert team chairman of Widya Karya Nation of Food and Nutrition WNPG10, Trinuka Pujiastuti, on the sidelines of soft launching of Widya Karya Nation of Food and Nutrition to Media at LIPIS Indonesian Institute of Sciences building in Jakarta on Monday afternoon.
Konkret dari pemerintah ini adanya program 100.
Concretely, the government has a program for 100 regencies and cities and 1,000 villages which has been started. It is expected to run in 2018, so the concrete target for the government must be respected. It means there has been serious efforts which previously not done yet in synergy. Moreover, Trinuka invited the people to comprehend food and nutrition well. She also invited all related parties to alleviate stunting numbers in Indonesia. Trinuka directly that the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, has implemented its scientific role to increase nutrition service for people, various food accessibility, securing guarantee, and food quality, as well as clean behavior. The Indonesian government is conducting a campaign to gain support from Saudi Arabia to become the host of the Mega Islamic Bank, World Islamic International Bank, MIBWIIB. This was stated in a press release from Indonesian Embassy in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, received in Jakarta on Monday, January 29. The Indonesian government delegation led by Deputy Minister of Finance Mardiasmo held a bilateral meeting with Deputy Minister of Finance of Saudi Arabia Hamad bin Sulaiman Al-Bazai in Riyadh. Indonesian Ambassador to Saudi Arabia Agus Maftu stated that Indonesia, as the country with the largest Muslim population in the world, deserved to house the MIB WIIB, which will become one of the alternative banks that can provide access to infrastructure financing for developing countries, especially in the Islamic world. The ambassador further stated that by hosting the MIB WIIB, Indonesia can contribute more to the international world. He noted that Indonesia is the most populous Muslim country in the world, and it is also included in the world's top 20 economic powers. Indonesia also has a positive reputation internationally for its active role in maintaining world peace through diplomacy. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs supports Jakarta Waste Handling cooperation with Norway and Denmark. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says Indonesia supports peace in Afghanistan. Directorate of Southeast Asia, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs realizes digital economy cooperation with Singapore. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Studying the Economic Impact of Two International Events at Home. In 2018, Indonesia is going to host two international events, namely the 18 Asian Games, from 18 August to 2 September 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang, Sumatra, and the annual meeting of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund IMF on October 12 until 18 in Bali. The government must provide a lot of funds for these two international events. For the 2018 Asian Games, Indonesian investment as a host reaches approximately 30 trillion rupiah, and the implementation of the annual meeting of the World Bank and the IMF is not so huge since it is only held in one city. The organization of these two international events will serve as a model to calculate the economic impact. The National Development Planning Agency BAPNAS is preparing a study on the economic impacts of these two international activities. It is reasonable to calculate the impact of all costs incurred, not only from the financial aspect but also the impact on multi-sectors. Head of the BAPNAS, Bambang Brojonegoro, said that the economic impact assessment of an activity needs to be done to measure how much the activity affects the domestic economy and not just from the financial aspect. He also explained that BAPNAS will calculate the economic impact of each event twice, both pre-event as a projection and post-event as a description of the realization as well as evaluation materials. Several countries hosting international events have undergone the study and calculation of the economic impact of each activity. Indonesia should have studied to make a study of the economic impact of every international event. The results of the study are expected to increase revenue from all sectors, not only the tourism sector of the city that hosts the implementation, but also the surrounding areas. The more expected impact, of course, is the involvement of micro, small, and medium businesses in every activities. Hopefully, the model of the study that BAPNAS will undertake for Asian Games and the annual meeting of the World Bank and IMF can be an input for subsequent economic activities. So every time Indonesia hosts any international activities, the economic impact will spread to many sectors. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a special segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with January the 30th, 1917. Indonesian national hero I Gusti Ngurah Rai is born. Colonel I Gusti Ngurah Rai was born in Carangsari village, Petang Badung Regency in Bali on January the 30th, 1917. He was a freedom fighter against the Dutch, and Ngurah Rai's men was called Chiung Wanara troop, who performed the last life and death battle on November the 20th, 1946, known as Puputan Margarana, where I Gusti Ngurah Rai died. Later, at the location, the Margarana Hero Cemetery was then established. Together with 1,372 members of other combatants of MBO or Umum Headquarters, Dewan Perjuangan Republik Indonesia Sunda Kecil, a gravestone in the monument complex called the Kleiner Sunda A. London Candi Marga Tabanan was made. The Indonesian government conferred the Mahabhutra Star and promoted him to Brigadier General posthumously. His name was then used in Bali Ngurah Rai International Airport until now. We turn to January the 30th, 1933. Hitler's leadership period begins. The German who lost in the First World War was overwhelmed by a bad economic situation. This was used by Hitler to reach the people's sympathy through the party he led, the Socialist Nationalist Party, abbreviated Nazi. Hitler joined the party since 1919 and became its chairman in 1921. In the 1930 election, the Nazis won the majority of seats in the German Reichstag, and on January the 30th, 1933, Hitler was elected Chancellor of Germany. Since then, Hitler carried out various policies that strengthened control at the hands of the Nazis. He dissolved the left-wing parties. In July 1933, Germany was declared a one-party state. Civil service and courts were cleansed, and non-Aryan elements and leftists. The government was reorganized and only the Nazis were employed. The workers' organizations were dissolved to be replaced by Nazi organizations. Furthermore, Hitler made preparation to enter World War II. Let's end with January the 30th, 1948. Mahatma Gandhi is killed by a Hindu extremist. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi was killed by a Hindu fanatic named Nathuram Godse in New Delhi, India on January the 30th, 1948 at the age of 78. Karamchand Gandhi, who is also called Mahatma Gandhi, is a spiritual leader and politician from India. In Gandhi's lifetime, many countries were colonies of Great Britain. The inhabitants of the colonies longed for independence in order to govern their own country. Gandhi was one of the most important people involved in the Indian independence movement. He was an activist who did not use violence in his cause. He carries the independence movement through peaceful demonstrations. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I am Anna Trijayakas.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with regular program My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesia today is Pancasila is pluralism with various religions, races, ethnicities, and social classes. Stay tuned. Indonesia must be proud of its diversity and plurality that exists in the world, that is embodied in Pancasila. This was stated by Head of Presidential Working Unit of Development of Pancasila Ideology, Yudi Latif, in a national meeting of Nation and Character Building Institute entitled Democracy, Rejecting Sara Politics, Caring for Diversity in Jakarta, January 27, escorted by Tribunews.com. Yudi explained that the plurality of the world's miniatures exist in Indonesia. Although many languages, religions, and races, the Indonesian nation is still united and unified. He also pointed out that Pancasila is the most important capital that Indonesia must be proud of. He views that Indonesia should be grateful because when the globalization of the world, Indonesia has experienced to successfully overcome plurality with various religions, races, ethnics, social classes. All of this can be united with Pancasila. It started in the Youth Pledge on October 28, 1928, when the youth from various regions and diverse identities merged into one. Religious, racial, or ethnic backgrounds do not limit citizens to leadership. In fact, Indonesia has been led by female president. Yudi Latif further affirmed that the only unifying tool in the diverse distinction in Indonesia is Pancasila. Pancasila unites various interests. So, pluralism is not a source of conflict, but a source of happiness in social life. On that occasion, Yudi Latif also reminded the common interests of nationality should not be sacrificed for the sake of political interests for a moment. There must be an approach to the political elites not to sacrifice the value of togetherness and Indonesianity for political purposes. He insisted that Indonesian people should be encouraged to avoid the effort of splitting the nation and not to be influenced with hoaxes. Hence, cultivating intelligence must be instilled earlier through education. Yudi Latif added that Indonesia has become a model for developed countries in managing diversity. That's my Indonesia.
This is Ani Hasanah with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his deep sorrow to Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, along with all Afghan citizens, for some tragedies that occurred in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo during a joint press statement after a bilateral meeting with President of Afghanistan at the Agur Presidential Palace in Kabul on Monday, January 29. The Directorate of Southeast Asia, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, seeks to realize the cooperation of digital economy between Indonesia and Singapore, which was launched by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong last year in a bilateral meeting to commemorate the 50 years of Indonesia-Singapore diplomatic relations. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated that Indonesia is ready to hold an international ulemas meeting to help maintaining peace in Afghanistan. Indonesian government through several ministries and institutions made coordination to overcome extraordinary incidents of measles and malnutrition in Asmat, Papua. The Indonesian government is conducting a campaign to gain support from Saudi Arabia to become the host of the mega Islamic bank World Islamic International Bank. Bank Indonesia is studying the use of blockchain, a system in which a record of transactions made in Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency is maintained across several computers. And the last item, Bandung City in West Java has won the ASEAN Clean Tourist City Award at the 2018 ASEAN Tourism Award Asanta, which took place in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And listener, that was News in Brief. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you traveling to West Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, herbs has a good usefulness for treatment. Nowadays, with the rapid development of medical technology and the abundance of research, many species of plants that provide medicines for all diseases. Even more natural without side effects like chemical drugs. This is what makes a lot of people interested to know more about herbs. For those who are curious to know about the herbal plants, you are required to visit Citamyang Healthy Tourism Park. In addition to get education about herbal plants, you can visit the tourism forest. Healthy Tourism Forest is an education-based tourist area located in the mountainous area of Puncak, Cisarua, Bogor Regency. The area is precisely located in Tugu Utara Village, Cisarua Subdistrict, Bogor Regency, West Java. The Citamyang Healthy Tourism Forest takes about 2 to 3 hours from Jakarta. The forest tourism is managed by Puncak Lestari Forest Village Society with Tunas Mandiri Foundation or Nastari Bogor. In an area of approximately 3 hectares, you can get many broad and comprehensive knowledge about herbal plants in the area. Visiting the Citamyang Healthy Tourism Forest, knowledge about herbal plants can be obtained from the information board around herbal plants displayed at the site and the presence of herbal guides derived from volunteers. In the Citamyang Healthy Forest, there are also nursery of herbal seeds. There are 100 herbal spaces consisted of 33 types of original herbal plants from Citamyang and 67 other species of herbs from areas outside Citamyang. In addition to educational tourism activities that have been prepared, there is also a wooden bridge in the tourism area, 825 meters of herbal tracks, herbal nursery, rainwater harvesting satellite, coffee garden, selfie spot, and family cycling race in Pasir Air area. The herbal track has been specially designed to be one spot of herbal plants education that grow in their natural habitat, equipped with labels of scientific names of plants and barcodes to know the benefits and its usefulness. There is also a camping ground that can be an option for those who want to stay overnight. Thank you. listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonderful Today with the topic Citamyang Healthy Tourism Forest in Puncak, Bogor. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development and Development Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is permisi dan mempersilahkan, or in English, excuse me, and please or go ahead. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Permisi, Mbak. Permisi, Mbak. In English. Excuse me, ma'am. Ya. In English, yes. Saya duduk di dekat jendela. Boleh saya lewat? Saya duduk di dekat jendela. Boleh saya lewat? In English. I sit at the window seat. May I pass? Oh, silahkan. Oh, silahkan. In English, go ahead. Or perhaps by all means. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. Sama-sama. Sama-sama. You're welcome. Next is a conversation on permisi dan mempersilahkan, or in English, excuse me and go ahead, please. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Mary. Excuse me. Oh, salah. Sorry. Permisi. Permisi. Which means, excuse me. Saya. Saya, which means I, duduk, which means to sit, di dekat, which means near or close to, jendela, which means window, saya duduk di dekat jendela, which means, or in English, I sit next to the window. Boleh saya lewat? May I pass? Silakan. Go ahead. Terima kasih. Thank you. Sama-sama. You're welcome. Tony started the conversation by saying permisi mbak, which in English, excuse me ma'am. The word can be used in various situations. In the context of a conversation between Tony and Sinta, Tony says permisi mbak or excuse me to get Sinta's attention politely because Sinta is unaware of Tony's existence then.
Another example. Permisi, di mana toilet? Permisi, di mana toilet? Excuse me, where is the toilet? Di dekat jendela itu. Di dekat jendela itu. Near the window. Furthermore, if you want to ask someone's permission, you can use the phrase as Tony says. Boleh saya lewat? Boleh saya lewat? May I pass? To let or allow, you can say silakan, silakan, or please, or go ahead, as said in the conversation. The word mbak in the conversation was used to greet women who are relatively young in the island of Java. To say hello to a young man, you can call him mas. You can add name after word mbak or mas like Mbak Sinta, Mbak Rani, Mas Tony, and Mas Andi. To call young men or women outside of Java Island in Sumatra, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and Papua. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia through a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some dangdut songs. Stay tuned.
Oh,
Listen to the song entitled Colak Colek by dangdut singer Camelia Malik. Composed by her former husband, Renold Panggabean, the song tells about the story of young people who like fun. The song Colak Colek was released in 1977 and presented in different dangdut music at the time. Colak Colek combining pop, salsa and rock music with dangdut music. Dangdut music, which originally considered plebeian. With the presence of the song, dangdut then raised its class and liked by many circles of music lovers. It was proven when the song was dedicated in Camelia Malik live show at Shibuya Seed Hall, Tokyo, Japan. Many Japanese youth were historic and shouted new music born while swaying enjoy the dangdut music. Similarly, in the San Francisco City, Los Angeles, and New York. Even the song Colak Colek received an award from the Military Information Center. The success of the song also strengthened the position of Camelia Malik as a dangdut singer in the country. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kasakusuk by Camelia Malik. Happy listening. Thank you. The Jakarta-born singer started her career in dangdut music world since the 1970s. She was known as Diva Dangdut Jaipongan because Jaipongan becomes her trademark when performing dangdut songs. Successfully releasing her first song entitled Colak Colek, Camelia then released a song entitled Kasakusuk. Like the previous song, the song was composed by Reynold Panggabean. With the success of the song Colak Colek, Reynold then inspired to make a song with a quite similar title, Kasakusuk. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Dimana Kemana and Kelangkang Cinta by Camelia Malik. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you. cari-cari, ku tanya-tanya, di mana kemangan, wahai sang kelana.
Indonesia. Today's sound.